Like I said, baby boomers and their animations. Just love them. Well, when you decide to become a parent, whether through natural birth or adoption, it isn't always apparent what's going to happen, is it? How many had success in laying out the ground rules? Yeah, that's what I thought. Because things don't always go as planned. By the way, we as a church family have sort of entered the adoptive business. We're adoptive parents in a way. We've adopted 6 girls in Conakry. We want to keep remembering them in prayer. And we've adopted the orphans that are in that capital city in the Kids in Crisis orphanage. And we've adopted a family of 5 from Pakistan, now living in Bangkok, Thailand, because refugee sponsorship is a kind of adoption, isn't it? And if you've seen the news this week and you understand what happened in Pakistan this past week, you understand why we're getting into the adoption business with regard to this family of 5. We want them to be able to have a safe home here in Canada with us. So on your behalf, we have sent a small benevolent gift to William and Farah and Joshua and Jessica and Shazane just to bless them this Christmas. But would you continue to remember them in prayer as they go through this long process of refugee sponsorship and getting here to Canada. Now, adoption. The gift of adoption. I bet you didn't think about that at Christmas time. I bet that's probably the farthest thing from your mind. But I want us to focus on it this morning because adoption is a blessing. Adoption is a blessing. How many of you were adopted? Just put your hands up. Okay. How many of you were adopted? Now, I think some of you had the right idea and then you backed away. I would have expected to see way more hands. Okay, Alex is starting to get the idea. Okay, a few of you. Now, how many of you were adopted? Okay. All right, some of you still don't get it. Because adoption, as we're going to see this morning, is a blessing and a gift to be received. It's something that we all need to receive. If you haven't received it this morning, it's not just that you aren't thinking. But if you haven't received it this morning, you need to, because God offers it to you as a gift. In the movie Despicable Me, Gru, by the way, spoiler alert, I'm sorry, if you haven't seen the movie, I just gave it all away, but it is kind of old by now. But in that movie, Gru needed the girls, those 3 little girls, to carry out his evil plan. But in the story that we're about to read, in Paul's Christmas story, in the book of Galatians, which is a strange place to find it, but in that story, we are the plan. We are the plan. God's plan. And our Father wants to steal our hearts so that we can be with him forever. So I want you to, you can look it up in your Bible if you want, or you can just follow along as we read this morning from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Maybe we should read this together. Would that be a good idea? Let's read it together. This is the Christmas story, according to Paul, from Galatians 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Oh, what a wonderful portion of Scripture. If you're following this morning in your outline, you'll be able to fill in the blanks. And I'm going to give them to you in just a moment. But I hope that this series has been a blessing to you. This series about the gifts of Christmas. It's intended that way. The gift of expectancy. That to renew in you that childlike attitude of, I can't wait. And there's so many things in the Christian life where even though we're called to be patient, there's that sense of expectancy, and I can't wait. And then there's the gift of grace. And you know that the word grace in Greek really means gift. So it's a gift of a gift. And God's grace is an amazing thing. We could spend all day talking about that. And then the gift of reconciliation. We talked about that last week. And our prayer for you is that in your heart, in your home, in your family, wherever it is that you associate that if reconciliation needs to take place, that it would become a reality for you this Christmas and that you would know the blessedness of relationships restored. And then today we're talking about the gift of adoption. And then the final one is the gift of Jesus, the gift by which all of the other gifts are made possible. We're going to see that in just a moment. But this morning, just focus with me on four facets of this gift of adoption and marvel at God's love for us. Can we just do that this morning? You can write notes if you wish, but I want us to have this attitude this morning of just marveling at how much the Father loves us and how he's shown that love for us. So we're going to talk about adoption as a gift of infinite worth that brings us to the Father and transfers us to his family. Okay, those are the four things I just want you to see. And now that you haven't had a chance to write them down, I'm going to move on. I know it's a little bit redundant to talk about the gift of adoption when you're talking about all the gifts of Christmas, but it needs to be said here in this first point that adoption is a gift. It's a gift from God. Do you ever receive a gift, like probably a large box, and inside that box were all kinds of smaller gifts? Sometimes people do that as a joke. And sometimes they really put a lot of thought into it, and there's a theme to it, and you begin opening up one gift after another, and you begin to see that they all play a part in the greater gift. Well, the gift of salvation is like that. What does Paul say to the Ephesians? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, nothing I could do, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. It's like the big gift. And so Paul here says to the Galatians, when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son. And he's the big gift. He's the gift in which all the other gifts are realized. But we need to understand today that if you've only gotten inside the door, if you've only received Christ as your Savior, and you don't know everything that we have in him, how the Father's expressed his love to us in so many different ways, well, then you've just begun. You've just begun to open the packages that God has for you. He sent his Son to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. What an amazing thing. And this adoption we're talking about this morning is just one of the little gifts, but none of them are little. They're all so immense and so eternal. This morning we only have the opportunity to look at this one. So adoption is a gift from God, a gift that says that the wanderer may come home. If you haven't had the chance to see A Christmas Carol, it'll be on sometime between now and Christmas, and probably Christmas Eve especially. And you remember that Scrooge, sitting alone in that schoolhouse where his father had kind of exiled him because he was the cause in his father's mind of all his woes. His wife had died in childbirth, and so Ebenezer is sent off to school. But who comes? Fran, his sister, to let him know that his father has had a change of heart and that he wants him to come home. Oh, you must come home. Our Father has never had a change of heart toward us. His heart has always been turned toward us. And his invitation is always to come home. And so we find out as we understand this gift of adoption that it's an invitation for us to come home. To be home once again. Now, quite honestly, some of us think, like Kevin McAllister in the movie Home Alone, that it might be nice to, if our families were gone, if we didn't have to be a part of family anymore. Some of us think that way from time to time. Some of us think this way. My family is temperamental, half temper, half mental. Yes, I understand that. And I know where you're coming from. But I like this one the best. This family is just one tent away from being a full-blown circus. So you remember that this Christmas or New Year's when you've got family gathered around. But the truth is that we were made for relationship. We were made to belong, to be a part of something. And God has made it possible for you to belong to his family through this gift of adoption. I remember when I was a kid, and I know that you find that hard to believe, but I remember when I was a kid that it was a lot easier to answer the question, what do you want for Christmas? Because I had a whack load of things. I knew what I wanted, and the list got longer every year. Interestingly, now at my age, I really can't think of a thing. At least not a thing that money can buy. Although, a few minions would be nice. If you know what I mean. But it's difficult to think of things that you really want for Christmas sometimes. I do remember that one year when our daughter, who really desperately wanted to play the flute, didn't she? In the little skit over here. But our daughter, she was quite young, and I don't think Jonathan was around quite yet, but Holly got a hold of the Sears Christmas catalog. Do you remember the Sears Christmas catalog? Do they still have one? I don't get it, but that's because I don't do enough shopping at Sears for them to send it to me, I think. They probably still have the Sears Christmas catalog. She got a hold of it, and she went through it. She went through the whole toy section. And then she came to us, I remember very clearly, and she kind of held it open to us and said, I want all the toys. Now, my daughter, being the thoughtful person that she is, was just trying to make it easy for us. You know, all the toys will do, whatever that is. Well, the real question this morning is, what do I need for Christmas? What do I need? And God's in the business of satisfying our needs. And his answer to the question, what I need for Christmas, is just one word. Word, Jesus. He's the one that I need. God sent his son. And we're focusing in on the fact that Jesus is the big gift from God. He's the gift that we must receive. Because to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the authority to become the children of God, even to as many as believed on his name. But in that great gift of salvation in Christ comes this wonderful blessing of adoption that we're talking about this morning. And the gift of salvation is a gift of infinite worth, so adoption is a gift of infinite worth. The second thing we want to look at today. And you ask, how is that so, Pastor? And I'm so thankful for people that ask questions like that, because it helps me to go on and explain that adoption is a gift of infinite worth because Jesus is a gift of infinite worth. So when we receive Christ, we get all the toys. Is that a bad way to put it? We get everything of worth, everything that is worth anything, all the gifts, all the blessings. They come in him. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, and Ephesians is perhaps my favorite epistle of all the letters in the New Testament. It's my favorite. And I wish we could read the whole passage here. We don't have time to do that, but he begins it this way. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and now listen, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And it's just those five words. If we could examine the whole passage in detail, it would be great. We can't do that, but we can sum it up with those five words. God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh, talk about infinite worth. Everything you could ever possibly want or need comes in him. God has given that to us in Christ. Paul says it this way to the Corinthians, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. I hope you haven't found yourself in the situation this Christmas where you promised, yep, that's what I'm going to get you for Christmas, and then you found it wasn't available. Oh, wow, that hurts. That stings. But God has never made a promise that he can't fulfill. They're already fulfilled in Christ. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. There will not be one unfulfilled promise in heaven. No one will stand in heaven and say, excuse me, God, you missed one. Not going to happen. Every spiritual blessing in Christ, every promise made in Christ, they're all yes. So adoption is a gift that God wants us to receive. It's a gift of infinite worth. And here I'm kind of behind. I'm getting so wrapped up in how great this is that I forgot to advance a little bit. But here we are. Adoption is a gift of infinite worth that brings us to our Father. To be able to come home to the Father. And that's the point, isn't it? To be reconciled to the Father. We talked about that last week. That we can come home now. That we can have a place in his home. Remember the passage in Ephesians that I just talked about, and I said we weren't going to discuss it in detail? Just one more detail, okay? Paul says in the very next verse after I finished reading, "For he chose us." Just ponder those, that short phrase, those three little words. He, and personalize it. He chose me. Isn't that amazing? How does that make you feel? We're not talking here about some, something that we can't comprehend or something. God has chosen everybody, and yeah, we all know that. No, he chose you. He knew all about you, and he chose you. We need to think about that this Christmas, because if we're ever going to appreciate how much God has done for us in Christ, it'll be as we begin to personalize what the Bible says so clearly is true and accept it into our lives, as we accept him into our lives as our Savior. The first grade teacher was discussing a picture of a family. I don't know whether Lori has done this in her teaching career, or Sharon, or some of you that have been teachers, but there's a picture of a family. And one little boy in the picture had a different color hair than the other family members, very noticeably. So when one child suggested that maybe he was adopted, a little girl said, "Well, I know all about adoptions because I was adopted." "Well, what does it mean to be adopted?" asked another little child. And she said, "It means that you grew in your mummy's heart instead of her tummy." But that's exactly what the Bible says, isn't it? John writes in his first letter, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." The New Living Translation puts it this way, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that's what we are." How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss the Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. That's what Jesus did for us. Now, I guess you're never too old to learn. And I learned something new this week, and you may already have known this, but I found out this week that the carol, "Joy to the World," one of the best-loved Christmas carols of all time, was not originally connected with Christmas. How many knew that already? I'm glad I'm not the only one. But it was anybody know what it was associated with originally? What the intention was? Donald knows. Oh, okay. Who was the tune written by? Oh, was it? "Joyful. Joy to the World." Whatever. Why are you trying to lead me down that path, Donald? I don't understand. Yeah, there you go. I'll have to look that up now. Now it's going to bother me the whole time. If Irene were here, we'd be able to find out the answer. But no, it wasn't associated with Christ's first coming. It was associated with... Oh, I thought I'd give it away with that. With his second coming. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing." Does the light come on like it did for me? I got that from Billy Graham directly. So if it's wrong, you talk to him. But yeah, that's the truth. Isn't that interesting? And I really like that, because now every time I sing "Joy to the World," I'm going to be thinking about his first coming And I'm also going to be thinking about his second coming. Because just as surely as Jesus came to that stable and was born in Bethlehem, he's coming again. You can bank on that. That's part of the gift. That's part of his getting us home to the Father. And when Jesus comes again, what's he going to do? What promise is he going to fulfill? What blessings is he going to bring to us? Because we always want to know when somebody goes away on a trip, what are you going to bring me when you come back? And the amazing thing is, Jesus says, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. In fact, he tells his disciples, who are a little downhearted in John's gospel, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, you know these words, say them with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Oh, what wonderful words of encouragement. We can come to the Father. Jesus isn't saying there's no way to the Father. No, he's saying I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus came so that he could bring us to the Father. Jesus died so that he could bring us to the Father. Jesus rose again so that we could live with our Father. And Jesus is coming back to take us to be with our Father forever. And we're talking about the gift of adoption this morning because, and this is the last part here where it all comes together. But this is so much a part of what it means to be related to our Father, to be reconciled to the Father, to be a part of his family. So adoption is not only a gift from God that's of infinite worth and brings us to our Heavenly Father, but it's also a gift that transfers us into his forever family forever. What a wonderful thing. He gives us a place to belong. He gives us a family. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ. He gives us friends, and he calls us his friends. He calls us his brothers and sisters. He invites us into relationship. Now, in the passage that we're looking at from Galatians, there are two really important words that help us to understand how significant this is and how big a deal this really is. The first word is redeem, and the second word is slave. The first word, why would Jesus have to redeem me? And the answer is in the second word. It's because I was a slave. Jesus says, you were a slave to sin. But Jesus came to set the captives free. And that's what he does in your life and in mine when he comes in to be our Savior. He transfers us out of that slavery. He sets us free and he brings us into his family so that we have a place to belong. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus came at a time of real uproar. According to Paul in Galatians, he came at the right time. The New King James says the fullness of time. The Message Bible says the time set by the Father. But that time set by the Father was a time of upset. And everybody moving around. It's interesting that people were busy searching out their ancestry at that time. Traveling to their hometowns. Connecting with other family members. Mainly because Rome had forced them to do that. They wanted everybody to go back to their hometown so that they could register. But the spiritual truth of the matter was that no matter what your name was or where you were born, you were a slave, according to Jesus, both then and now. We were slaves to sin, and Jesus came to set us free. Jesus made that clear when he was talking to some Jews one day, and we won't be able to look at the whole passage, but they were under the impression, as many people are today, that because of their heritage, because of their name, or because of where they were born, or the family they were born into, that made them God's children. Isn't that common today? Well, we're all God's children. Have you checked what God's word says about that? Jesus is going to say to these Jewish people that he's talking about, you're of your father the devil. That's pretty contradictory, isn't it? But just to summarize for you, Jesus made it clear he was talking to these Jewish people who thought that their heritage made them right with God. And they said, well, Abraham is our father. And I'm sure they said that with great pride and maybe a little defensiveness as they were talking to Jesus. Wow. Well, then they turned it back and they said, the only father we have is God himself. And Jesus said, no, you belong to your father, the devil, making it pretty clear. But then Jesus makes this comment, and it applies to every one of us, regardless of our race, regardless of our color, our cultural background, our religious heritage, whatever it may be, it applies to every single person in the whole world. He says this, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. So do you understand where we were? We were in a place where we had no access to the family, no access to the father, no permanent place there. Everything transitory, nothing for sure. But, he says, a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. No going back. No going back to that slavery. No being locked away. But rather set free into a relationship with our Heavenly Father of infinite worth, into his family. Isn't that what Paul says to the Galatians when we read that passage? But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Daddy. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you an heir. Let me just focus on that last word as we wind it up this morning. God has made you an heir. You know, we talk a lot about this baby boom generation and inheritances and how that's going to impact lifestyles and spending and everything else. We always think about inheriting something in terms of the monetary value, don't we? Now, come on, be honest. But in Bible times, first of all, there were no clear adoption rights in Jewish law. So Paul isn't referring to something that's embedded in the Jewish faith. When he speaks about adoption, he borrows from Roman law to teach us about the extent of the Father's love for us. So follow this with me. In Roman times, a person of means who had no children could adopt a child. He could even adopt a slave to be his own son. And the adopted child would have all the rights of a son, all the privileges of his father's name, and would inherit all of his father's property. He would no longer be a slave if he were one to begin with, and he would forever be associated with the adopted parent's lineage. Paul says, that's exactly what God has done for us, with one big exception. In Roman times, a person who had no children would adopt a son. God already had a perfectly good son. And I choose those words carefully. He was perfect and he was good. God did not need to adopt, did he? He didn't need you. That's what grace is all about. God's unmerited favor. He didn't need a son. Rather, he redeemed us by sending his perfectly good son to the cross to die for our sins. Are you getting a sense of the magnitude of God's love toward us? And then, based on what Jesus did for us on the cross, having risen again from the dead, he adopted us as his own legitimate children. He sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts that we might, with all genuineness of heart, cry out, Abba, Daddy. You see, it isn't just a matter of being saved. I mean, that's wonderful. That's that big package. But it's all these wonderful gifts that accrue to us because of what Jesus did and because he's now called us his children and made us his own and made us just as if we were firstborn. Because, see, firstborn meant a great deal when you were a Jew, did it not? It meant everything. It meant you got everything. The firstborn got, maybe it's that way in your family. You're not the firstborn, and you're a little irked because the firstborn seems to get everything. But oh no, God has made it so that in his family, every child adopted into his family comes into the family with all the rights and privileges of the firstborn. Our Heavenly Father, it says, wanted to lavish his grace toward us. And it says where Paul says to the Galatians, and since you are his child, God has made you an heir. He's brought you right in so that everything that belongs to Jesus as the perfect, sinless, firstborn Son of God now belongs to us. You know, there ought to be a sense somewhere in our heart of hearts where we just go, wow, because we can't comprehend what it means. And so John says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Never use that phrase, children of God, in the same way again. You are a child of the King. If you ever had a doubt about God's care or God's concern for you, let those doubts drown in the great ocean of God's demonstrated love for you. And he's not about to change his mind. You know, I think it would be good today, or maybe Christmas Day, or sometime between now and New Year's, to read Romans chapter 8, just to encourage ourselves in God's love. Because there, Paul tries to plumb the depths of God's love, tries to explain to us how much God loves us. But lest we forget between now and then, oh yeah, the pastor wanted me to read Romans 8. Let me read a few passages out of Romans 8 for you. And the first package that I'm going to read for you is going to sound very much like what we read in Galatians. So here, I'll give you permission, as long as you don't fall asleep, to close your eyes. All right? So close your eyes and listen as I read these words from Paul in Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And then Paul continues on. You can open your eyes for just a minute. I'm going to put you back to sleep. Not by preaching. I'm going to put you back to sleep in just a minute. But Paul continues on to encourage his readers that they need to wait patiently for what is absolutely sure to come to them, and to place all of our hope and confidence in God, who is faithful. And he reminds us that the Spirit will help us in our weakness. Remember that? And that God will work all things together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. And then he concludes the chapter with these words that I'm going to conclude with today. So close your eyes again and listen. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God, read there, Dad, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.